It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. December 11th, 2022. Wow. 2 weeks away from Christmas. 3 weeks away from New Year's. Wow. Feels like this year flew by, didn't it? Wow. Kind of blows me away. You know, a few of you asked me if I'm going to do a New Year's Eve live stream. I think I will, because I don't like going out New Year's Eve, especially in my neck of the woods. A lot of crazy shit goes on, a lot of drunk drivers. So New Year's Eve, yes. Christmas Day, I'm not sure yet. I definitely will be spending part of it with family. Tonight, I am spending part of my night with family as well, all of you. The Sit Down is here, and I want to thank you all for joining me. For those that are live, you know the deal. For those that are newer that are live, basically on Sunday I show up with no notes, nothing. Actually, I do have the match results from NXT Deadline and ROH's final battle yesterday. We'll definitely talk about that. And other than that, I show up with nothing. You choose the topics. If everybody who's in the chat room, you know, you post a question, I will answer it. Super chats obviously get to the front of the line, a little VIP status. Hey, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. That's how it goes. You know, as far as last night's shows go, I enjoyed them. I'm not going to lie to you, Ring of Honor, I definitely skimmed through some of it. With all due respect, there's a few wrestlers that just because AEW, shit, WWE could put them on TV, doesn't mean I'm going to watch them. You know, some wrestlers did not interest me much at all. But the pay-per-view was definitely worth the $40 for those who wanted to spend it. Top to bottom, I mean, great matches. I am going to reserve my rant. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it Monday night or Wednesday night. I might wait till Wednesday because I want to see what happens on Dynamite. And, you know, even if they don't put much Ring of Honor on Dynamite, you know, let's see after a week what happens. I have a rant that I want to go on so bad as far as Ring of Honor and this TV deal that people are trying to spin. Oh, my God. Did you see the spin the last 24 hours? People are trying to tell me, well, I could watch it on my TV. That's a TV deal. No, it's fucking not. It is part of Honor Club, which is a paid subscription that used to be in force. And I don't want to start talking about it because then I'm going to go on this huge tirade. And this is definitely going to be something I'm going to put by itself online for everybody to check out. But I will say this. The number of title changes yesterday. You ever see those thumbnails, how it started, how it's going? The best way I could describe Ring of Honor Final Battle was, if I made a how it started and how it's going, I would have on the left side how the TV deal started and have Jericho as your champion, and how it's going, they have Claudio as champion. I think people seem to forget Claudio defended the Ring of Honor championship at Battle of the Belts and it scored the lowest rating in history. Ring of Honor is a niche promotion owned by someone who has this extreme fondness that thinks that because he has the money and because he has the talent that he could take it to places that it never went before. And sadly, not only is that not true, but it has definitely hurt AEW in the process. Five title changes yesterday because now, since it's going to be part of their app, now we don't need the high-profile names. We don't need as much attention. That's why you got the five title changes yesterday. once they realized there ain't no TV deal. And, you know, it was interesting because what started popping in my head yesterday, and I'm not going on a rant there, everyone. I'm going to save that probably for Wednesday, but I will say this right now because it's definitely time sensitive and we need to bring it up quickly. What was popping in my head yesterday as I was reading the press release is, number one, nothing has really changed with Honor Club. Yeah, you're going to get some matches from today. Understand, they're going to be taped probably at Rampage. They're probably going to be taped at Dynamite shows. They're going to ask New Japan to tape a couple of matches under the AEW banner. So that all they're doing is taking stuff that would probably go on YouTube Dark or YouTube Elevation, and they're going to pop it in the app and ask everyone to pay $10 for it. Pay-per-views? You know, I don't know if any of you out there have looked. Did you ever read the press release for Honor Club prior to Tony Khan purchasing it? I recommend you do it. Go look and see what was offered, especially when it comes to pay-per-view. Pay-per-views are not included in this deal. So when we break it down on Wednesday, you're going to realize that, you know, all the air has been popped out of the Ring of Honor balloon. And because it is going to be on an app, the urgency of having bigger names and high pro, that's no longer needed. If they had a TV deal, I would quit the shows today if they still had five title changes yesterday. That's pretty much what happened. Once they realized TV deal ain't happening, now they go back to what they were before. But we'll get into it Wednesday. We'll get into it Wednesday. Terry Donahue is asking, Sasha to New Japan? When I go like this, you could click yesterday's Don Tony Show episode. I got into it in great detail. We talked about it a month ago. Now it is happening. But I will add something. I don't want to leave you hanging tonight. You're here. You're taking time out for the show. I have to give you something. I will give you something. Without naming names, there's a little buzz going around today that Sasha Banks has a multi-appearance deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that barring a last-minute deal with WWE, you know, she's not returning. For all of you out there, why don't you ask those sources, is the deal exclusive? Ask them that. Sasha Banks showing up at a couple of events, that has zero to do with a WWE deal. Does anybody honestly think after 7 months that WWE and Sasha Banks haven't had deep, hardcore contract negotiations through her agent? Yes, she has an agent. The idea that, oh, money is so far apart, based on what? Do you think these journalists are friends with Sasha? Do you think that, what happened to that guy? You remember that guy that was friends with Naomi when they first walked out and he put all his stuff on social media and he's like, I'm not doing this for attention. I'm just defending my friend. Then the funny thing was when people were kind of like questioning some of it, he answered every single, this guy fucking had an orgasm with the amount of attention that he got. What happened to him? You think the journalists are now buddy-buddy with him? So where do you think these people are getting information that Sasha, you think Sasha is telling them? You think Sasha is going to jeopardize a multi-million dollar deal with WWE, part-time schedule, being able to work movies, being able to do outside little things? Look at Mia Yim. She is still on YouTube doing a thing, having a great time. You know, a lot of these negotiations are already done. And what is being written this weekend? You know what goes through my head? WrestleMania weekend. The same people trying to come across that they have all the exclusives. Those are the same people that two or three days before WrestleMania were telling you, you know, our sources tell us that it's not a guarantee that Cody is going to show up at WrestleMania. That's fucking disrespectful. Don't disrespect your viewers and your listeners like that. The fuck out of here. You know, MJF, when he walked out that time, You know, everybody had the exclusive scoop, and then they tried to make you think you're on crack. It was a shoot, then it turned into a work that went a shoot again, and now it's a work, and it's kind of like a work shoot. Ignore these people. Sasha Banks is getting a huge payday in Japan. Absolutely. Doesn't mean it's going to affect any negotiations with WWE right now. WWE, listen, one thing people need to understand. Sasha Banks is not angry at WWE. WWE is not livid at Sasha Banks. There is no hate here. So the way it's perceived online that nobody's talking and they're so far from a deal and they can't, it's not that. It's not that at all. So if Sasha Banks, and the funny thing is, some people are now saying, oh, Sasha Banks is going to appear at New Japan, you know, Wrestle Kingdom, but in a non-wrestling capacity. I would think so, especially since they already announced the women's title matches and all the high-profile women's matches. People also need to remember that New Japan Pro Wrestling has separate content for women's wrestling. So women's wrestling on their main shows is not a major footprint in the first place. So, you know, people are trying to take a fact. This is what people are trying to do, everyone. Believe me, I've been around it for almost 30 years. These people are trying to take a fact, and then they're trying to take that fact and use it to try to put a whole lot of question marks and unknowns and possibilities and scenarios when one really doesn't have to do with the other. So if she works out a deal with WWE, it's going to happen whether she shows up at New Japan or not. And as I said, you know, it's at the good graces of WWE. A lot of her appearances, you know, WWE has signed off on a lot of it. She's still on the fucking roster page, everybody. She's still on the roster page. I know that may not sound like a big deal for a lot of you out there, but it is a big deal. All right. So I hope that kind of clears up a lot of it. But ask him if she signed any type of exclusive deal. You know, if she didn't, then, you know, wouldn't New Japan want a little protection that if she does work out a deal with WWE that they're advertising her, doesn't get fucked up? Trust me, all sides. That should show you that it's bullshit right there. Because think about what was said today, and we'll move on. Think about this. People were saying today that unless a last-minute deal with WWE, she's going to appear multiple times, all right? Why would New Japan work out this big deal with Sasha Banks and then WWE at the last second swoons her in and now everything is fucked up? I guarantee you, even if her return to WWE is still not etched in stone as far as what date, what scenario, I guarantee you that New Japan and WWE are on the same page. They are aware. Look at Carl Anderson. You think New Japan didn't know that Carl Anderson was going to Crown Jewel? If they were that livid with Carl Anderson fucking New Japan for what he did, no showing that event, don't you think they would have just stripped him of the title? Why would they air a pre-recorded promo from Carl Anderson inside a hotel room with Luke Gallows? They aired that shit. If Carl Anderson was doing something rogue, you mean to tell me you're going to air it? You know, somebody fucks me over and sends me a video taunting about it, and I go, hey, everybody, look. All right. Want to give a couple of shout-outs because we do have a couple of super chats. To the front of the line, everyone. Ronnie C., Twitter Blue is relaunching again tomorrow. Wasn't it supposed to relaunch Friday? Am I going to get it? Yes, I am. The reason why I'm getting it, plain and simple, I'll give you a good example. Yesterday's show, I aired the Bray Wyatt video, him talking about Barry Windham. I wanted to put that on Twitter. The video is 3 minutes long. because I canceled my original Twitter Blue, I could only upload 2 minutes and I think 40 seconds. And I was like, I'm not editing what Bray Wyatt said 20 seconds just so I could get the video on social media. I couldn't put it. I couldn't put it on Twitter. So just the video part of it and being able to edit tweets, to me, it's worth $8. As far as the Blue stuff, I could care less about that stuff. You know, especially now, you know, he owns it. Elon Musk. I don't like Elon Musk. I don't like him at all. But he owns it. You know, just because it's Twitter is gigantic, huge, he can do whatever the fuck he wants with it. He could change things around. He could make requirements. You know, he could do whatever he wants. It's his company. Don't like it? Leave. You know, it's funny to watch people really. I love the people with the blue check marks that suddenly they feel. Let me put it like this. It's like going to a country club. All right, go to a country club and only members are allowed to show up. And it's, you know, very fancy. You dress in a suit, you know, dress in nice attire, and only members could show up and dine and everything. And there's a lot of empty chairs in the restaurant, but still, members only. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they have some extra seats. So they decide, you know, we'll let some people come in. You know, as long as you have the dress code and as long as all your info pans out, you could come in here and eat also. And they sit down and they're cordial and they're not trying to cause trouble. They just want to have a good time like anybody else. And all the rich bitch conceited blue check marks in that country club are like, he's not a member. She's not a member. Who are you? Are you kidding me? Look. And then they mock them. We're members. You're not. Ah! I'm watching grown people act like babies. Fuck them all. Fuck them all. That's what I have to say about that. But yeah, I am getting it. Big Sal, thoughts on the Ring of Honor's new TV deal, Honor Club. I don't know. Did you all see my thumbnail for Monday's show? No TV deal for you. I took the soup Nazi from Seinfeld. And I put this picture of Tony Khan. He looks like a puppy. He looks like a puppy that was left. They accidentally locked him in the yard all night long with 30-degree weather. And then you open up the door to get the newspaper, and the dog is on the doorstep looking at you like this. That's what Tony Khan looks like in that picture. No TV deal for you. Oh, man, I can't wait till Wednesday. This guy is going to try to do this on the cheap so bad. That was the biggest problem with this whole deal. And, oh, let me add another little teaser for Wednesday. Ooh, I feel like that. You ever see that little kid from Family Guy when he's like, Briscoes, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when AEW does a TV taping for Warner Discovery, Warner Media, whatever the fuck it is? And they're like, oh, no, for an hour before the taping, you know, we're going to do Ring of Honor stuff. And we're going to bring the Briscoes in. Are the Briscoes going to be allowed to perform at an event, even though, you know, the hour before is for Ring of Honor content? That's going to be really interesting. Here's another thing. Since a lot of you out there that do have podcasts also are able to ask Tony Khan questions, the next time Tony Khan does a media scrum, people have asked me to be part of it and ask a question. I'm not part of the cake and ice cream club. I don't fit in with them. Everyone out there, for the most part, you know, they all dislike me. So I show up there, I mean, the same thing. You imagine if I show up at the media scrum or if I show up at the post scrum in person, and you'll have the same thing, like I said, with the country club. All those wannabe aspiring journalists, they'll be like this. Oh, no. Oh, no. Please ask Tony Khan this question. Is there anybody else other than the Briscoes that have a deal signed with Tony Khan and not with All Elite Wrestling? Are the Briscoes the only team, the only people that have signed a deal that is not All Elite Wrestling? That, you know, understand, Samoa Joe might be a little bit of an exception. Because Samoa Joe, he's the only one that kept that title yesterday. And that's basically because Samoa Joe cannot work a full-time schedule anymore. Samoa Joe cannot work as often as he used to. you know, the match with Darby Allin is excellent, but if you go back and you watch it, it's mostly Darby Allin just being a fucking crash test dummy. But the Briscoes appear to be the only people that have signed a deal that has nothing to do with All Elite Wrestling. A lot of these other wrestlers have deals. Now, you might get your Shane Taylors. You know, you may get some of those guys that will, you know, get a separate deal. But for the most part, as far as all the major names goes, they have AEW deals. And they get extra paydays to be part of Ring of Honor as well. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how they incorporate the Briscoes. We'll get into it. All right. Chris Cutra. Thank you for the $9.99. Hey, I could buy a month of Ring of Honor Honor Club. Fun NXT show. Booker on commentary makes me want to learn Spanish and watch that feed instead. Whoever booked that Alba Fire Isla Dawn ending should be stuck with the pencil they used to write down that finish. Okay, two things. First of all, as far as last night's shows, I only took two screen grabs. I didn't bother grabbing screen grabs tonight. One of the screen grabs was this. Booker T getting legitimately emotional, almost in tears, about Roxanne Perez winning the Iron Survivor Challenge. That was awesome. That was awesome. A lot of people still don't know that Booker T trained Roxanne Perez. And, you know, to see not only, you know, your students aspire, but really aspire. Look, when we did predictions last week, I mean, the only one that we got wrong was Grayson Waller. But if you remember that conversation, we talked about WrestleMania weekend, that the only scenario, and look, this will be sausage tomorrow or Wednesday, I'm not sure yet, but you'll hear it on the other show. Carmelo Hayes versus Bron Breakker may be saved to WrestleMania weekend because that's when they're going to pull the plug on Bron Breakker's title reign. That is the reason why Carmelo Hayes did not win yesterday. They want to wait until WrestleMania weekend to give Carmelo Hayes that WrestleMania moment. And yeah, that makes sense to me. You know, plus if you remember Wednesday when we discussed Deadline, you know, it's almost confusing why Grayson Waller has not been given more opportunity. You know, so Grayson Waller, you know, winning yesterday, I thought that was pretty cool. That Alba Fire Isla Dawn stuff was awful. It was awful. It's a reminder that WWE creative has not changed as much as people think it has. The referee spitting up goo. It was awful. It was stupid. What is Isla Dawn now? She's going to be, you know, she looks like a witch. She acts like a witch. But I actually didn't think that we were going to see, you know, almost like the Alexa Bliss shit again. I understand it's developmental. You throw shit on the wall and you hope that it sticks. But if it didn't stick with Alexa Bliss, who is a household name in pro wrestling, the fuck did WWE think that Isla Dawn, it's going to work for her? And I like Isla Dawn. We've done nothing but praise her since she came to NXT in the United States. That was awful yesterday. That was horrendous. But how awesome was it? New Day winning the tag team champ. I freaking love it. That was my biggest rant this past Wednesday. I wanted New Day to get those belts. People out there calling it demotion, a step down. Oh, look at this bullshit. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I remember 20 years ago when a veteran showed up in ECW or a veteran shows up in the developmental and challenges a local champion. The New Day gave such a rub to Pretty Deadly yesterday, even though Pretty Deadly lost. That is awesome. That is awesome. The New Day are no longer your longest reigning WWE tag team champions of all time. But now they have a record that even the Usos don't have. There's nothing wrong with that yesterday. And you know what? How great was this? Doing the Eddie Guerrero thing. One down. There you go. Two down. All right. Look, he passed. Oh, he threw it to his own partner. Three down. Yeah, I'm going to get hit with a copyright on this one. Four down. They're all down. That show was so much fun yesterday. You know, Ring of Honor was great from what I saw. I mean, I watched the whole thing. I just watched it in fast speed in some cases. But NXT was like easy listening. You know what I mean? Like easy viewing. Like you didn't, it wasn't too much to ingest. You know, you weren't exhausted afterwards. You were very much entertained overall. And I got to tell you, the Iron Survivor Challenge worked a lot better than I expected it to. It worked a hell of a lot better than I expected it to. Let me give you the match results very quickly. Hey, did you see how everybody made it a big deal that there were no pinfalls after 5 minutes on both matches? When they first announced the Iron Survivor Challenge, remember Shawn Michaels? They make it. The first thing that you and I all thought about was you can't have a pinfall after 5 minutes. Because if you have somebody get pinned within that first 5 minutes, they're going to be in the penalty box and the other wrestler's going to jerk off in the ring by themselves. They're going to be playing with themselves. So, of course, there was going to be no pin. But people made such a big deal about it yesterday. I was like, come on, it's common sense. But on the women's side, Roxanne Perez won it, as we said. She had two falls. And that was another thing, too. You didn't have too many falls either. You didn't have, you know, Uber Dominic's as well. Now, sure, Kiana James got no pinfalls or submissions out of it. But, you know, everyone else except for Roxanne Perez only had one. Roxanne Perez with two falls. Zoe Stark, Indy Hartwell, Cora Jade having one fall. And Roxanne Perez, you know, getting that win only 2 minutes before the match ended. You know, that was awesome, man. That was awesome, especially right at the end when Cora Jade is in the penalty box and she comes out and people are scrambling, looking at the clock and it's counting down. And you realize, you know, it's the end of these matches. The last time I anticipated a countdown clock like that, not Royal Rumble, because Royal Rumble, when the clock ends, that doesn't mean the match ends. It just means we're getting a new person in a match. The last time I felt that way yesterday with these countdowns was when the clock went to zero and Eddie Kingston was covering up John Moxley from the exploding death match with AEW. You remember when they were counting down the clock and everybody's like, 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 10 seconds, and then it went to zero and then sparklers. So I tell you, that was pretty good yesterday. I mean, they really nailed it. They really nailed it. I have to tell you, I actually enjoyed it. On the men's side, Grayson Waller got three falls. Joe Gacy, Carmelo Hayes, and Axiom had two apiece. JD McDonagh had zero, which was interesting as well. But Grayson Waller, you know, won very close to the end, 30 seconds left to go. And he fucking steals the victory from Carmelo Hayes. So Grayson Waller is now going to take on Bron Breakker. New Day beating Pretty Deadly, as we said. Isla Dawn over Alba Fire. And Bron Breakker retaining the NXT Championship, beating Apollo Crews. And that was a really good match as well. There really wasn't a bad match. Just to finish with Isla Dawn and, you know, Alba Fire was horrendous, to say the least. So on the Ring of Honor side, as I said earlier, five title changes, and that reflects the fact that they were not getting a TV deal. That's really it. Some names that you saw yesterday, you won't see again for quite some time. And like I said, when I get into it, we'll make it nice and neat. But when you realize like where these matches are going to be taped, what Tony Khan's going to try to do at New Japan, basically what they're going to do is, it's like you want to make a nice dinner for someone. But it's like you're too lazy to go to the store and getting all the right ingredients and the right tools to prepare a really nice dinner. So what you do is, you know, you look in your closet and, you know, you really don't have like the right sauce, but you have something cheap. And, hey, I got a little butter in the fridge. Everything tastes better with butter. You know, you add a little butter to it. And then you look in the freezer and you really don't have this, but, you know, you don't have fresh shrimps. But you know what? You got a TV dinner with shrimp scampi. So, you know, I'll just pick the shrimps out of the scampi and I'll throw it in this thing as well. I don't really have a salad, but you know what? You know, I do have cucumbers and there's a tomato in the yard, and it's like, just fucking go and do it the right way. You see how, or it's a mess. It is a freaking mess, especially when people start to realize that Honor Club now is going to be less than what they were offered before. So, all right, Jeff Cobb over Mascara Dorada. This is their dark matches. Angelo Parker, Matt Menard over Shinobi Shadow Squad. Willow Nightingale over Trish Sidora. Top Flight over The Kingdom. The main show, you had Blake Christian and AR Fox getting a win over Rush and Dralistico. Athena wins the women's championship, beating Mercedes Martinez. Congrats to Athena. You know, that was our choice. You know, most of you out there wanted to see Athena get it, and I'm glad that she did. Swerve in Our Glory beat Shane Taylor Promotions, but obviously, you know, the split is pretty much done over there. The Embassy winning the six-man tag titles over Dalton Castle and the boys, that was kind of surprising. But you know what this shows you also? Tony Khan is like, I'm not going to waste Dalton Castle on Ring of Honor Rampage hour before. No, I want him on AEW TV. Some of these Ring of Honor guys, you're going to see wrestling on AEW. That may be a good thing after all this is done. That may be a good thing. So understand, when people were questioning yesterday why some people actually lost, Tony Khan doesn't want to waste somebody because there's no TV deal. There is none. And that's another thing, too. You know, didn't you see, like, certain reporters this weekend say that recently WarnerMedia told them that they're extremely ecstatic with AEW's ratings, that they're very happy with it? Why would it be so hard to get a TV deal then? A one-hour deal. Why is it that freaking hard? Why not do something with Rampage? Oh, well, maybe because WarnerMedia don't want the Briscoes on there. Yeah, Briscoes kind of fuck up things more than you realize. And you have to ask yourselves, what the hell did the Briscoes do, you know, to warrant this kind of ban? You know, I could see if it was New Jack. I could see if it was Chase and Rance. You know, I could see, you know, some others. But, you know, they have proven over many years now that they're not homophobes, they're not sexist, they're not criminals. You know, I mean, people make mistakes in their life, but only time will show that somebody is really grown and repented and learned from their mistakes. You know, that's why Nash Carter will be back in NXT. I said the Briscoes will be on AEW TV sometime in 2023. I think that still will happen. I think at some point, common sense has to kick in and say, wait a minute, you got fucking Mike Tyson making appearances. You got other people making appearances, you know, and these guys are that band. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting dynamic that people really aren't paying attention to. The Briscoes beat FTR, and tomorrow we'll talk about it. You know, FTR, the beginning of the end is near. You know, not their careers, but AEW, AAA, New Japan possibly. You know, what scenario did we say on Wednesday about FTR? If they lose those tag titles to the Briscoes, that means there's other shit about to go down, and it's like dominoes. Why do you think Dax, right after the pay-per-view, he wrote something like, you know, like it was a good run? But he wasn't talking about just the championship. He made it seem like they're done. Good guys out. You know, anybody, could someone do me a favor? Because I don't want to misquote him. Could somebody in the chat room go look at Dax's Twitter really quick and read me the tweet that he posted last night? It was just one sentence, but it was very powerful because people immediately said, oh, shit, their AEW career is almost over. And you look at 2022. You know what this looks like to me in hindsight? Last year, FTR was Tag Team of the Year. And I almost feel like because there was no TV, there was no extension of a contract, and now with Triple H back and FTR still not renewing a deal or extending their deal, I think many, 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 many months ago, the AEW decided we're not going to push these guys to the point where they're Tag Team of the Year anymore. We'll let them get toys from other promotions, and we'll just use that. But as far as AEW is concerned, we're not going to give them dominant wins. We're not going to give them impressive records. You look at FTR's 2022. I've said this 1,000 times. Look at their tag team record in AEW for 2022. The only 3 wins that they got were against the Gun Club and 2 other tag teams that are featured on Dark. They have beaten nobody that's been ranked in like the top 20 in AEW. They've defeated nobody this year. Everyone has beaten them. And then you have Tony Khan. Look in hindsight, when Tony Khan at the media scrum said, oh, they could have a historic or, you know, huge run, you know, run this weekend. Yeah, they had an excellent match with the Briscoes, but I think people are more concerned about what is FTR's future. So did anybody? Oh, yeah. Kevin Milwaukee wrote, it's over. Thank you all. What do you mean it's over? You know, people lose tag team titles all the time. That tweet was a lot deeper than just losing tag team titles. People lose titles. People win titles. I'm telling you, remember what we said Wednesday, that this is going to be like a domino effect. And then, you know, we'll talk about it a little more tomorrow. Could FTR, oh, since you all are very nice to spend your little Sunday night with me, here's a poll that's coming very, very soon. You steal it, I show up at your house, and not to say hi and have coffee. Who should dethrone the Usos? If you had a choice, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn or FTR? Could FTR show up the night after WrestleMania and challenge the Usos and defeat them for the undisputed WWE tag team titles? I'm going to throw it out there because their contracts are over in April. And, you know, for all that FTR has done for AEW, maybe AEW does let them leave a week or two early. Don't know. Don't know. So I'm just throwing it out there. Me, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. But as far as shock value, how shocked would you be if the night after WrestleMania, the Usos retain at WrestleMania, the night after WrestleMania, they talk about they've beaten everybody, and FTR comes out and beats them for the tag titles? Would that be possibly the most shocking moment of 2023? I'm just saying it for shock value, not saying I would actually want it. Let Pretty Deadly dethrone the Usos. Yeah, right. I like Pretty Deadly, man. I like them. They're good. They're good. I hope that they plan on staying in the States for the foreseeable future, more than just the next 3 to 6 months. I think they would be a hell of a lot of fun on the main roster. I am bought in with Pretty Deadly. So anyway, the Briscoes beat FTR to win the tag title. Samoa Joe retains over Juice Robinson. Claudio Castagnoli beats Chris Jericho to win the championship. And I tell you, an interesting creative way to do it. He's doing a Cesaro swing, whatever he calls it now. You know, not Cesaro. Don't call me the Cesaro swing. And Jericho gives up after, I think, what, number 27? So that was creative. That was definitely creative. But you look at all those all those title changes yesterday. The minute the balloon was popped, we ain't got no TV deal. Oh, I'm going to address some people on Wednesday. Because did you notice that little sentence at the end of a lot of people's writing yesterday? That, you know, the TV deal will be updated after, I think, the next pay-per-view. Don't fucking string people like that. Don't string people like that. Tony, the journalists don't give a fuck about any of you. But Tony Khan, don't leave that question mark. Don't leave the sentence with a comma. You know, 3 months, 6 months from now, if a network or if Warner Media changes their mind and they are open to discussions, then just say it. But don't lead people on to make them think that, oh, you know, they're going to revisit this. Do you think they're going to add this to Honor Club just to take it away a couple of months from now? What happens when people buy the year subscription? You know, don't do that. And I don't think AEW is doing that. Warner Media had no interest in a TV deal. People just don't want to say it because it makes Tony Khan look ridiculous. Because he bought Ring of Honor and within 2 weeks was talking about how he's going to get a TV deal and all this other stuff. And people were convinced. People were convinced. Remember some people like HBO Max, Rampage's time slot, you know, Warner Media wants another hour. Those are people that were just hoping and thought that if enough people say it, that it'll actually happen. Guys, I'm 210 pounds. Let me keep saying it. You all keep saying it. Let's see if I'm 210 pounds a week from now, a month from now, 6 months from now. All right. Benjamin is asking me, did Tony Khan try to get Ring of Honor on another company's network? Yeah. Yeah. In fact, like I said, Little Sausage is going to come tomorrow. Ring of Honor, don't discount the possibility of him trying to get a little piggyback on Access. You know, New Japan has TV. See, that's the mind-boggling thing. People yesterday are like, oh, well, New Japan will have some influence on it. They can't even get enough people to fill, like, somebody's wedding. Their viewership is so low, they don't even compute the rating anymore. It's not even 0.2, 0.02. So, but they have existing TV. So Tony Khan's trying to work out a deal where, hey, you know, maybe we can have a couple of matches, you know, get recorded in New Japan. You know, we'll have Takashita take on some dumb fuck, you know, and we'll just put AEW, you know, the skirt around the ring, and we air it on our network. And in return, we'll have a couple of guys. We'll wrestle here. We'll do some fantasy match. We'll have your titles defended here. They're going to try to do this on the cheap. They never had two sets of producers. What if they got the TV deal? When do you think this was going to take place? Where do you think the matches were going to be taped? Nobody, remember when I kept saying, think about the logistics, think about the behind the scenes. That is more important than anything else. So this does not surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise you either. And the people online, people are still calling it a TV deal. It's not a fucking TV deal. It is a paid streaming deal. You have to give Ring of Honor $10 a month and either stream their app through Roku, or you could stream me through Roku. Does that mean I have a TV deal? Do we all have a TV deal? Chris says I'm funny. What makes me so fucking funny, Chris? Why do I make you laugh? What the fuck is wrong? All right. If you have a specific question in the chat, type in capital letters, the word question, so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment you want me to share with everyone, write in capital letters, the word comment. If you want to send a super chat, you know, it's not required. Never feel obligated. You know, it helps. You know, it helps me buy my new Ember mug. Hint, hint.
That was bullshit.
It was bullshit, everyone. I don't use super chats for that. I use it to try to... Actually, I got an awesome brand new tripod. Because I don't know if you look... See it up there? Don't they look a little crooked? The half of the body of Eddie Guerrero and Taz? Yeah, my tripod that I had is gone. I have a brand new tripod I'll be hooking up tomorrow. By the way, the Q&A. A few of you asked early about the Q&A mailbag. It'll be released on Tuesday. I have it done. But because we were doing a sit-down tonight, which is similar in some ways... Tomorrow we have, you know, the post-Raw show. Tuesday we have Patreon, but nothing online, so it'll be released Tuesday. Then it'll be every 2 weeks. We negotiated every 2 weeks for now. Michael Gonzalez, thoughts on the Mets offseason so far? I will miss Jacob deGrom. The injuries have become more serious. I think bringing in Justin Verlander, 2 years, 80-something million, Jesus Christ. But Mets want to win in 2023 or 2024. So they're doing it for the now, not for the future. So far, I'm fine. Bringing back Brandon Nimmo is good. But, you know, they have to have that extra because they do hit a lot of droughts. I'm a major fan of Buck Showalter. Love his work. So I'm liking what I see so far. I'm going to miss DeGrom. But, hey, you know, Verlander is a suitable substitution. And they'll use some of that money. You know, it's like NXT, everyone. You're going to pay Adam Cole and Keith Lee and some of these other wrestlers hundreds of thousands of dollars and have 600, 700,000 viewers. Or you're going to turn around and you're going to pay a whole bunch of people $80,000, $60,000, $100,000, $500 a week. Some NXT stars get $500 a week and get similar ratings. And in the process, you might build some major stars of tomorrow. So sometimes, you know, it's not about how what you spend or how much you spend. It's the way you do it. So, Guardian of Chaos. What's up, Chaos? Is it true they called me Tripod in the locker rooms? Tripod? No. I was called Neck Fat in the past. Tripod. I wonder why they would call me Tripod. I don't know. No, I was called Neck Fat. I was called Money Mark back in the day. Wow. I wanted to invest money in shows and bring better talent to get more people to come back and make more money. Yeah, that's Money Mark. You know what Money Mark is, honestly? If I would have booked myself to manage, like, fucking Scott Steiner. You know what I mean? Like, back in the day? No, I just wanted to have fun. And I wanted to have as many people have fun. And I take pride, you know, that some of the shows that we did had almost 1,600 people show up. You know, being featured in the Mexican magazines. You know, shit like that. That's why I put money into the shows. But I think some people were just very jealous because they couldn't or they didn't have the resources. So instead of just enjoying it and having fun also, you know, people always try. Listen, wrestling is a cutthroat business. It still is. You know, it's not kumbaya. It's not cake and ice cream like these people portray it online. There is a lot of cutthroat. There is cutthroat in AEW. You know, believe me, there's a lot of people in AEW that, you know, do not get along. And, you know, some of them realize, you know, I don't want to start naming names, but you could figure out who they are. There's some names there that would just disappear to, you know, to nothing other than small indie shows if they ever left AEW. So they keep their mouth shut. They deal with the bullshit as long as the payday is there, as long as the contract is still there, and they do it, and they stay. But once they're gone, not even fucking NXT would pick them up. SoFly says, tripod or kickstand? Now this is getting into interesting territories. Charlie Conway says, some are fans loyal of Dave Meltzer. I am a fan of Dave Meltzer. I'm a supporter of Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer, I disagree with a lot of his stuff, but I respect, you know, what he does. And he's a very generous man. I will never forget what he did for me with the not only the Conan drive, but when we did the Chris Candido Memorial Show. You know, just a little tidbit, I'll share this one, and I brought it up before. When Chris Candido passed, and we did a memorial show, and we raised money, yeah, I know, you know, we don't need to talk today where the money ended up going, you know, damn me. But, you know, he sent me 100 newsletters. I still have my tribute shirt. We had a custom shirt made up, all the proceeds going to, you know, a little fund we set up and everything. And Dave Meltzer, out of nowhere, because I was trying to sell the shirts online. He says, I'll send you 100 newsletters, tribute to Chris Candido, for free. So the first 100 people that bought a shirt got the newsletter for nothing also. I didn't even ask him for it. And, you know, little things like that. I subscribe to his newsletter right now. I haven't read that fucking newsletter in 5 years, but I subscribe to it just as a way of giving back a little bit. Very generous guy, but he has this very deep love for Japanese wrestling and that style. And look, pro wrestling is not just one style. It's not based on what Cornette likes. It's not based on what Meltzer likes. It's not based on what I like, and it's not based on what you like. There's different forms of it. Just like there's different types of music and there's different genres in movies and there's different types of TV shows. You got crime drama, you got comedy, you got goofy shit, you got serious shit, you got soap operas, you got reality TV. You know, Everything is different. And, you know, I respect that he doesn't hide what he likes. And as I've said for 20 some odd years, it blows my mind that the people that the most vocal about Dave Meltzer don't like the guy. But no one is forcing you to read the guy or listen to the guy or pay attention to the guy. People do it because they just want to be part of a conversation. They want to be, you know, included with everybody else. You know, me, I don't like fucking country music. I've used this analogy before. I don't like country music. Do you ever hear me talking about country music? Do you ever see me going into forums and say, fucking country music sucks? Fuck country music. Eh, fuck that hit shit. You know, I just don't pay attention to it. You know, so if you don't like Meltzer, ignore him. All right. Chris Segovia, good evening. There are rumors going around that Eric Young is going to WWE, and if I was booking WWE, who would I have Eric Young's first feud be with? The team of ACL and MCL. Let Eric Young feud with his ACL and MCL. That's just, you know, old school TNA Don Tony talking. I'm not a fan of Eric Young. He has improved significantly. It's amazing to look back 20 years, Team Canada and some of the shit back then, and how beloved he was. You know, he's almost like a more annoying Eugene. So I have respect for what Eric Young has done, and, you know, he still can do it. In all seriousness, I don't know what you do with Eric Young. I mean, look, just because Triple H is bringing back people that Vince released doesn't mean that it's a good idea. You know, we've talked about it. You know, not all of the rehires have really worked out. But people are in denial because they want to portray it that, oh, Triple H is righting the wrongs. Yeah, the next time Isle of Dawn has someone fucking shit out goo, you realize WWE has not changed much. What they're doing is they're giving a little bit of everybody so everybody feels happy. You know, that's what they're doing. It hasn't changed as much as you realize. We still get clusterfuck finishes. We get the same shit all over the time. How many times in the last 6 months I've brought it up? Oh, Natalya didn't see the tag. Butch didn't see the tag. Sheamus didn't see the tag. Sami Zayn didn't see the tag. Every other match, blah, 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 didn't see the tag. And the match is over. I mean, you know, take a shot every time that happens. You'll be drunk. You'll think that I'm hot. Vernon Somoza, holy heck, DT, I still remember you back in the day saying my favorite Eric Young gimmick will be released Eric Young. This is how old I am right now. I don't remember that, so to speak, but I do remember, you know, saying that Eric Young off my TV is better than Eric Young on my TV. Look, Eric Young, believe it or not, I don't know if Eric Young would be good for WWE TV. I mean, what are you going to do, pair with Nikki Cross? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, how would you use Eric Young on WWE TV? And not just a feud. Because, look, you could take any wrestler and find somebody on the roster that you'd be like, wow, that'd be a good match. Doesn't mean that, you know, that person's WWE career is, you know, it's a good match. But then what? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not feeling Eric Young returning to WWE. But maybe it's more in the backstage role. Maybe it's more of being an agent. So, all right. Rocky Red with a comment. People need to stop rating NXT by comparing it to the NXT takeovers of past. This is a new NXT, and it's unfair to the talent. It's a continuously bad habit, and it's annoying. I wholeheartedly agree with you. That is one of the reasons why they took the name Takeover off of the premium live events, to force people to stop comparing it to the days of old. But listen, the only people that really do that are the ones that are not happy that NXT is developmental. You know, if you remember a year and a half ago, you know, people were trying to convince you, Remember those days that WWE was erasing Triple H's legacy, that they were taking everything away, that he was a dunce, a clown, that he's not even in creative meetings anymore. Some people even question if their marriage was still strong and what's the future of Triple H. And, oh, my God, could you imagine if he and Shane McMahon create their own promotion? Meanwhile, this guy's fucking fighting for his life in his deathbed. And you look back a year and a half ago and you think of the dumb shit that people said. I could only imagine the laughter that went on in some of these management meetings. Hey, H, did you hear? Did you hear what's going on? They're going to erase you. They're going to give you the Benoit treatment soon. You know, it's just, you look back on it, it's just ridiculous. But most of those people, you know, those people are the ones that think that NXT with 600,000 viewers with $5-10 million payroll is good. It's good. That's why most of those people, you know, have a Twitch video game channel as their form of income. You know, 9 o'clock, they're playing Super Mario shit. 1 o'clock, they're playing Super Mario shit 3. 7 o'clock, they're playing God of War. 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to restream. Let's blog. Let's talk. And these are the people that think, oh my God, Shane Taylor Productions, it's epic, it's amazing. Look, I have goosebumps. Oh, look, it's a long-term booking. He had this big feud with Keith Lee back in the day. For what? 100 people? 100 people feel that way. Me, I look at the big picture. You try to please everyone. I'll give you an example. I don't want to say who it is. There's someone who has been asking me repeatedly, please, DT, cover more MLW. Please, DT, cover more New Japan. And I know that 95% of you out there have no interest in that content. And me, I'll cover, you know, what a majority of you want. And we focus mostly on AEW and WWE and NXT and a little bit of Impact Wrestling. But, you know, I can't cover every little promotion because someone asked for it. You try to please the majority of everyone. You try to give everyone something, but in the end, sometimes you can't. And like I said, those people out there, you know, that are in denial still that NXT being a developmental is not a good idea, you say that 5 years from now. You know, people forget that the Four Horsewomen came from NXT. People forget that even though, you know, Seth Rollins was already, you know, awesome, he didn't need NXT to come to the main roster, but still, you know, a lot of these wrestlers you see on TV today came through NXT. So when people are like, oh, they're erasing Triple H's legacy, what are you talking about? Everybody on TV came through Triple H. It's somewhere there's a point. And I mean as in, you know what I'm talking about. The pose. Terry, you're right. NXT was always developmental, but it did not focus on the green and the new and the young and the future. They fell into the trap of grabbing indie darlings and Evolve stars and then trying to make that the focal point. The problem is, you know, when you got, you know, Joe Blow that just graduated college through the NIT program, you know, you're not going to have him job out to Adam, well, have a five-minute match with Adam Cole, or have fucking Kyle O'Reilly job out to, you know, graduate student number 3. You know, there was no balance there, and they fell into the trap. Look, I brought this up the other day. This was only a year ago. Guys, this was 2021. Look at that up and down. NXT TakeOver in your house. You got Gargano, Adam Cole, Karrion Kross, Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, you know, Ember Moon, Raquel Gonzalez, Mercedes Martinez, and it just goes on and on and on. You look, by the way, hey, friends, you remember a month and a half, 2 months ago? When Cameron Grimes, well, it was about a month and a half ago, and Cameron Grimes chose Gallows and Anderson as his tag team in that six-man tag on NXT. What happened to those news reports that, oh, Cameron Grimes is going to be on the main roster the next day or 2 days later? I still think he's going to the main roster. What happened? What happened to that? What happened to that? It was his long-term booking. Where he at? Right now, he's probably in his hotel room. It's late. I am having coffee. I am having black coffee, Victoria and Albert's. Victoria and Albert's is a restaurant in Disney that we had no intention on going to because it's like $1,000 a person to eat. That could feed me for 5 days. It's like a high-posh restaurant, and they sell their coffee online. So I wanted to see what it was like to drink coffee like a millionaire, and the coffee sucks. And I brewed it the right way. I did the pour over. I put 18 grams of coffee to 10 ounces of water, and I filtered it, and I did everything the right way, and it tastes bitter. It's not very good, but I'm drinking it because that's all I brought in the room. So Benjamin says, how am I going to get to sleep with that? Caffeine stays in your system for about 3 hours. So it's only 9 o'clock over here. So, you know, I don't go to sleep till around 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, by then the caffeine will be gone. My Christmas plans, I don't really have any right now. Christmas Eve, I'll be spending it with family. Christmas Day, during the day, I'll be spending it with family. Christmas night, I might be here. We'll see. We will see. Rams fan, could Rock be Hall of Fame and wrestle next year at WrestleMania? Yeah, absolutely. I think The Rock has to go into the Hall of Fame. The Hollywood stuff? Hell yeah. Listen, the idea, and this is a change with WWE also, the idea that once you go in the Hall of Fame, you know, your career is pretty much done. I mean, The Rock, he's not a part-time wrestler anymore. Like, he once in a blue moon. He wrestles less than leap year. You know, but the thing is, you put him in the Hall of Fame, have a return. Edge is a Hall of Famer. I mean, yeah, they didn't think he was going to be able to return to the ring. But Beth Phoenix is a Hall of Famer, isn't she? I think she is. So, yeah, The Rock could be in the Hall of Fame and wrestle. And I like it. I like it. I like, you know, him, they pay tribute the night before Mania. I'm just not sold on him winning world championship. I'm not sold on him winning. Whoever's coming up with him winning the Royal Rumble, my God, please send me whatever you're smoking. Like I said last week, I think the fans will boo The Rock big time because they know he doesn't wrestle on any, you know, steady basis. Roman Reigns, look at what he's done. I think people would get behind Roman Reigns and boo Rock out of the building. I think a lot of people would. So I think Cody's getting it. I still think Cody's winning the Royal Rumble. I think what we talked about 2 weeks ago, it was so simple. And it made so much sense that, you know, like people, it's funny because people sense that online are trying to really complicate it still. I think it's easy. Whoever wins the Royal Rumble gets a title shot at Mania. Whoever wins Elimination Chamber gets a shot at Mania. Wait, we got a dilemma here. We got two winners, Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, but we have one WrestleMania. Oh, I get it. Roman Reigns, you have to wrestle twice. You have to defend. And maybe they'll do a flip of a coin. Whoever fights for the Universal Championship, whoever fights for the WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes and maybe Seth Rollins or Cody Rhodes. Rock ain't winning no Elimination Chamber. So I still am not buying The Rock facing Roman Reigns anymore. I don't like it. It's a marquee match. Absolutely. I would listen. I think it might have a little reminiscence of, you know, Hogan, The Rock. Now, nobody is wrestling as, you know, lame as Hogan that time. But the idea is like a Hall of Famer versus a current major star. And I think it would get bizarro land. I think The Rock would have flashbacks like, oh, shit, they're booing me again. Rob is asking me who's going to win the Women's Royal Rumble. I don't know yet. We don't know the participants. Alexa Bliss is likely going to be the one to beat Bayley tomorrow. And she will, you know, further the seeds planted, her versus Bianca Belair. We don't know who's returning. We It's way too early to tell. Way too early to tell. And I don't even know if Bianca Belair will be women's champion in time for WrestleMania. I think she does. I think WrestleMania weekend, her media appearances, having that championship belt, I think it might be her versus Charlotte Flair. It might be her versus Becky Lynch once again. That is possibilities, but too early to tell. All right. We still have, we still got another 25 minutes. Wow, we only went an hour. I felt like we went so much longer. That's what happens when we don't spend 45 minutes talking about a pay-per-view that most of you saw, and you want me to say, oh, reversal, 360, oh, he did a front. No, it was good. It was good. I liked it. Had a lot of good moments. Go check this out. Isla Dawn making a referee puke. That's all we have to say. Okay. Benjamin is asking, is Sammy getting booted out of the Bloodline for his big day Friday? Oh, I think that's way too soon. That's got to be way too soon. We're only in December. WrestleMania is still 3.5 months away. I still think Roman Reigns is going to force Sami Zayn to take on Kevin Owens. I think Sami Zayn will be fine, but show a little hint of reluctance. I don't think Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens in a cage is a possibility at Royal Rumble anymore. Like I said the other day, when you factor in that those two Rumble matches are going to eat up 2 hours of the night, I think a cage match would be really, unless you only have five matches for the entire show. I mean, a cage match, it's not that long to lower a cage and lift it. So it is still possible, but I don't see it. But I'm curious to see what happens on Friday. I want to see what happens. But no, Sammy is not, they're not turning on Sammy. Not this quick. It makes no sense whatsoever. Especially that we're approaching the end of the year and John Cena is going to make a return and, probably announce he's going to be in a Royal Rumble. I think we're going to the holiday season. This is where less viewers tune in because they're more busy, doing things and shopping and spending it with family and preparing for the holidays. So this is the time where you don't do anything major with something like that. All right. Most surprising Royal Rumble winner of all time, Vince McMahon, Michael. In my opinion, Vince McMahon. I will not do it here because I like my shirt, and if I drop coffee on it, I will be very mad, but I will never forget when Vince won that night. And if you all have never seen it, or if you've seen it and haven't seen it in a long time, it's worth it. Go back and watch Vince. And it just goes to show you how this is instilled in my memory. I'll never forget when he climbed the top rope and he started drinking beer like Steve Austin. And he doesn't know how to guzzle. And if you look at him, he looks like, I don't even, what would be a good comparison? A dog? I don't know, but like he's pouring beer in his mouth and instead of trying to like, he's going like this. It's like, he looks like a Mr. Potato Head with his mouth. You got to go watch it. When he's throwing the beer in his mouth and he's trying to drink it and keep up with it, you got to see him. He looks like somebody who maybe they gave him shock therapy or something and they like zooted his ass, like hit the wrong nerve. It's pretty funny. Roman will give Sammy a new Sammy Uso shirt. Nah, I don't see that, Mike. They just debuted two or three new shirts. I think it's way too soon to be debuting even more merchandise. Plus, he threw a shirt to him. You don't want to keep throwing shirts. Unless they throw a shirt to him and he opens it up and it says, you're fucked or, something like total opposite. So, I don't know. Maybe the gift will be that they're giving him Kevin Owens on a platter. We will see. Charlie, I have no idea what you mean when you say, do they reference Brock F5 and John Cena at SummerSlam? I don't know who they is, if it's WWE. Why would they reference Brock and Cena? Right now, the talk is Brock and Lashley. And I'm wondering if Brock versus Lashley is going to be at WrestleMania. You know, people think Royal Rumble. Some people thought cage match at Royal Rumble. I think they both might be in a Royal Rumble match, and they may eliminate each other. Maybe Bobby eliminates Brock, or maybe Brock eliminates Bobby, and that's going to lead to WrestleMania. I think Brock versus Lashley, think about it. If you make that a WrestleMania match, it's like, all right, you don't have to worry about a storyline. It's like, it makes sense. It's an easy way. Like, all right, we have these people. How are we going to put them in a match? Like, what's the storyline? Brock versus Lashley at WrestleMania is easy. If that's what it ends up being, then they don't really have to do much other than just play it out. The only problem is it is still, you know, 3.5 months away. So I think SmackDown will be taped the next 2 weeks. I have to go check that out. When I do the previews for tomorrow, you know, on tomorrow's show, I will definitely let everybody know. But I think it is. Rob S., different Rob. Should AEW, where'd it go? Do a brand split since Rampage is hot garbage. Oh, no. No. So what? We have 58 titles instead of 29? Rampage is a disaster. We got into this last week. It is interesting to see louder and louder noise by hardcore AEW fans not happy with a lot of the booking. Some of the creative, some of the use of some people, and they're now getting a set of balls to speak out about it because I think the Elite mocking CM Punk pissed off more people than you realize. And the thing is, Tony Khan, without even being asked, Tony Khan made a couple of references in the Ring of Honor media call that you're going to see a lot less Ring of Honor on AEW television. And Rampage, they're going to amp up the roster and the matches. If you remember, we talked about that in October. We said that in November, Tony Khan is going to be amping up Rampage a little bit. And the problem is, saying it is one thing, doing it is another. So let's see, 2-3 weeks from now, let's see what Rampage looks like. I don't think much is going to change. What? Moxley's going to wrestle again? It's like, you know, nothing against Moxley, but how many extra viewers do you think Moxley brought in Friday? 50,000? Let's see what the quarter hour is. You know, so no, Rampage, no roster split. I want to see, I give Tony Khan, we're in December 11th. I give him to the end of the year. That's not that long. It's only 20 days. I give him 20 days, 3 weeks. I want to see how much. I don't expect Ring of Honor to be referenced that much this week because it's winter is coming. But next week and week after, I want to see. I want to see. I mean, they're going to push that Honor Club thing. And like I said, guys, gals, don't be fooled by it. They're not going to push Honor Club on everyone. And then in 2-3 months, they're going to get a regular TV deal. And then that offer is going to be pulled away. Believe me, once people start realizing, wait, it's the same shit as before with just some Rampage and Dark and Elevation matches being added to it, you know, I don't know if that's going to be enough to make people pay $10. I guarantee there's going to be a lot of Google image saves and people are going to put a screenshot. Hey, I just subscribed. Send me a like, Tony. Hey, I just subscribed. You know, give me a thumbs up. Hey, retweet me. I just liked it. You know, I think a lot of people are going to claim that they subscribed and they didn't subscribe. I'm not sure if I am. Joe, I'm not sure. I am not sure. Yeah, I want to support it, but like I said, it totally fucked up AEW, whether people like it or not. Oh my God, what's Shane Taylor doing here? You know what annoys me the most of it? It's not even about Ring of Honor. It's about Excalibur, and it's about AEW management expecting everyone to have watched Ring of Honor even over the last 5 years. Like, somebody shows up, and let me tell you something. There ain't no fucking way. I'm sorry. There ain't no fucking way that when the lights come out or there's a run-in and somebody from Ring of Honor runs down the ring, I guarantee you, listen, nothing against, what's his face? Who faced Orange Cassidy Friday? Trent Seven. Nothing against Trent Seven. When he came out there, listen to that. I call it a sound effect. Listen to that roar of the crowd, that holy shit roar, like, oh my God, can it be? It is. I guarantee a 90% minimum, 90 to 95% of the people in that building was like, who that? Fucking Tegan Knox returns to SmackDown, which is a bigger deal. Tegan Knox, you know, or Trent Seven. And you listen to that, you would have thought fucking somebody came back from the dead. You listen to that sound effect. There ain't no way that crowd erupted. And then you watch the match and everybody is sitting down. You watch the match. Look at when Best Friends and the Butcher and the Blade and all this other stuff is going on at the very end and FTR hits the ring and all this other stuff. Look at the crowd and everybody, even Santa Claus sitting at ringside. I'm like, Santa, get off your ass. Nobody reacted. So, all right. So, Fly, happy 22-month anniversary as a channel member here. Much love. And he's a member of La Nostra Familia. How about they have Roman defend the belts in a ladder match and both guys pull one down, Roman doesn't lose, and the belts get split up again? I hate it. I like the idea for anybody else but Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns has had that championship for over 2 years, and well, close to 2 years, and to have him drop the titles without being pinned, I don't like the asterisk. Roman Reigns loses those belts, it's got to be concrete, substantial, a period at the end. You want somebody to show up, you want somebody to turn, you want somebody to swerve, that's fine. But in the end, you don't want it, I never got pinned, I hate that idea. I think whoever beats Roman, I think Roman has got to do double duty. Will both matches be like his SummerSlam match with Brock? No. But I think Roman will be prepared to do double duty that night, and we'll that weekend, I should say, and we'll see if he drops both. Maybe he only drops one. Maybe he only drops one and then drops the other one the night after WrestleMania or the SmackDown after WrestleMania. Look, if Roman drops the Universal Championship and he has the WWE Championship, that used to be defended on Raw. That means Roman Reigns shows up the night after WrestleMania on Raw. I don't think you want to have a ladder to be the determination. I think Roman's shoulders have to be on the mat or he has to tap out. I think that's what you got to do. Sami Zayn, John says Sami pins Roman for the belt. I don't see it. Listen, I have done a 180 on Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is one of my favorites. Still, him with Johnny Knoxville entertained the shit out of me. Sami has come a long way, and I realize, you know, how special Sami Zayn is. I just don't see it as far as world championship right now. After 2+ years, it's got to be more significant champion, someone who is a heavyweight, someone who is more in that category. Sami and Kevin Owens winning those tag belts, hugging each other, little bit of tears shed, audience gets emotional. You know, that is the moment. You don't top that. To me, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn winning those tag belts is the perfect scenario here. I'm not saying that Sami is not world champion material, but he's not world champion material right now. Definitely would. This isn't the Yes Movement reincarnated. This is a special thing, and we're loving it. We don't want to see this storyline end, but it is going to end. This is a soap opera. There is a direction in the movie, and, you know, they're going to turn sooner or later. and this is going to lead, you know, the funny thing is we probably won't predict the exact moment that they turn on him. You know, I don't know when it'll happen. You know, there's a couple of ideas being thrown out there, but, you know, it's right now, it's got to be him and Kevin Owens. All right. We're going to stop bringing this home, everyone. We're going to finish in a little less than 10 minutes. So last call, everyone. If you have a question, type question in capital letters so I could spot it quicker. Comment, same way. In super chats, if you send one, you obviously go to the front of the line. All right, and then I will be back Monday night at 11:05 after Raw. We will definitely cover Raw. I will get into a little bit further some details as far as the Ring of Honor stuff. I Wednesday is the day I really want to get into it because Wednesday is NXT AEW day, and by then I should have everything because there's a couple of questions I have still. I'm trying to get the answers for us, but we'll definitely talk a little bit about it tomorrow. It's definitely a big deal that, you know, that after all of this with the TV deal, but Wednesday will be really where we dissect it and we look at the logistics. We look at how people are going to be used. But, you know, I think the most important thing is the number of title changes yesterday. Soon as the realization came in, and listen, the decision for a TV deal was not decided yesterday or the day before. Tony Khan knew that a TV deal was not happening a couple of weeks ago. And this was basically planned. And the five title changes is basically now Tony Khan saying, oh, okay, we had these people as champions, didn't work out, we're not getting a TV deal, we're just going to get a streaming service, so we're going to put some of those names back in AEW, focal point AEW, Jericho, you know, is going to be the focal point AEW, not the Ring of Honor stuff. Claudio, with all due respect, everyone, Claudio doesn't hammer, you know, bring the ratings, so he will be designated more for Ring of Honor. You know, Brian Cage, you know, this is the opposite. Let's keep him off fucking AEW TV. Let's keep his shit on Ring of Honor. So they have some contracts where they want to utilize people in Ring of Honor and get them off the AEW TV. So, all right. Steve Barbie, in my opinion, more bigger, meaningful moments. Seth Rollins pinning Roman at WrestleMania or Cody Rhodes? For me, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins. I think after that Ariel Helwani interview where he really opened up, you know, as far as he doesn't dislike Roman Reigns. He has nothing against Roman Reigns, but, you know, he feels that, you know, that it was so, you know, unbalanced, you know, and he should have been treated a little bit better. And I still remember that tweet. You remember when Seth Rollins had no match? I think it was it SummerSlam? I don't remember what event it was. And Seth, oh, I know what it was. Seth was supposed to take on Sami Zayn. Match got called off. He had no match on a premium live event. He went on social media and said to the fans, says, listen, you know, they don't hear you or, you know, this and that. And Triple H responded to Seth Rollins, says, I hear you. That has stuck in my head ever since. And I think that moment of Seth Rollins, if he wrestles for the world championship and he wins, I think that moment with Triple H, I could just hear that in my head. I told you, I heard you. That tweet that Triple H said to Seth Rollins was more meaningful than you think. I think that was the message that he's getting his WrestleMania moment. So I say Seth Rollins. Cody Rhodes is awesome too. Dedication to Dusty, you know, gets the world championship. You know, I'm not saying it's not going to be emotional. That's cool. For Seth, though, it hits different for me. Seth Rollins, sure. Yeah, everyone, smash that thumbs up. I mean, we had like, what, 80 likes going into this? That means less than one-third of you haven't taken a moment just to smash that thumbs up. It literally takes 3 seconds and it causes zero. Now, I don't blame you if, like, you're watching this on your Roku and your remote is on your dresser and you're lounging in your bed. How many of you done that? I did it the other day. I was laying in bed, and I was watching something about espresso. I got myself a little espresso machine. I bought myself an espresso machine for Christmas. I got the Breville Bambino Plus, I think it's called. So I was looking at some recipes, and, you know, you ever watch YouTube, and after a video ends, like, it'll, whoever had the video, like, they must have selected, like, whatever's the best for the viewer, like, something recommend. And next thing I know, something comes up from some wrestling podcast. I'm like, no, I'm watching coffee. And I looked at, across the room on my dresser, and there's the remote, but I was comfortable. And I was lazy. And I ended up watching the wrestling video all because I didn't want to get off my fat ass and walk 6 feet to grab the remote and hit back button. So I just laid in bed and watched a wrestling clip for like 10 minutes because I was that lazy. So I get it. If the remote's in the other part of the room, I don't want to hit the thumbs up right now. And do you know, everyone, no bullshit, everything that I just said, we have had a total of one like get added. I'm kind of disappointed. Not going to lie. I say, Jeff, yeah, I say espresso. I know it's espresso with an S, but in my lifetime, everybody I know has always said espresso. Hey, you want an espresso? Yeah, give me a double. Give me, you want a little Zambuca in it? Any of you have ever had Zambuca in espresso? It's good. But I know the normal term is espresso, but I say espresso. So, all right, now we got a bunch of likes. Thank you, everybody. All right, so we're going to jet out in 4 minutes. We'll keep this right around 90. I want to thank everybody for your continued support. Awesome as always. By the way, you know, I want to thank a few of you because I was going through emails. I had not checked the emails in about a week. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's just a lot overload going on. And few of you pointed out something to me that I didn't realize. And it's kicking me in the ass because I wonder how much time or how many like downloads and views and everything else I lost because of this. Few of you have pointed out with Spotify and with iTunes, and what was the other one? Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, that the links still had the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show on it. So unless you had the show like favorited, if that's the right word, hearted, or if you knew the link for it, sometimes when you searched for my show, nothing would come up. You know, because it still referenced the old show. I had two of those three pages that still had the old DTKC link, and I think it was Stitcher. I clicked the link, and it shows podcast up until 2020. I'm like, where's the last 2.5-3 years? And I realized, for some reason, the link never updated. So today, I spent about 2 hours updating all links. So if you go on my regular pages, dontony.com, you'll see Spotify updated. You'll see Amazon updated. You'll see, I must have updated like 7 links. I can't believe it. I had no idea. No wonder why people used to rub it in my face. Like, oh, you're ranked 196th and so-and-so is ranked 30. And I'm like, how could that be? And I'm looking at my, I'm like, that can't be. And then I realize now, yeah, now I know why, because I didn't have my fucking links correct. All right. Maggie, if she had a choice, she'd rather have FTR beat the Usos. I think a lot of people are with you on that. I mean, I understand Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, storyline, dedication, commitment. Kevin Owens has been one of their MVPs the last couple of years. Sami Zayn, my God, I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with the year-end awards this year with Sami Zayn. But that sentimental pick is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And that probably would be my pick at the end of the day. But for shock value, just imagine that crowd reaction. Here's the thing, though. What entrance music would they come out to? See, I'm sure you've all talked about this amongst yourselves at some points, but I've always thought to myself, when? It's not if, It's when Chris Jericho returns to WWE, whenever that happens, what music is he going to come out to? And honestly, if it's more than 2-3 years from now, unless it's more than 2-3 years from now, I see Jericho, that first theme music, I think it's his Fozzy theme. I think it's Judas. I think more fans identify him, that first guitar intro, I think immediately fans would lose their shit. Look at Cody Rhodes when he came back. Look at the music he came out to. As soon as you heard that heartbeat, that drum, people are like, oh, fuck. You know, so I think if it's within the next 2 to 3 years, the most, I think Jericho returns to Judas. But I think if it's more than 3 years from now, I think by then the Judas entrance would be somewhat played out, and I think he might have different music. You know, you don't fix what's not broken, so I'm not saying to change the music now, but at some point I think, you know, it would be changed up a little bit. Oh, no, his WWE music is, listen, Mike, my favorite Raw moment of all time remains Jericho's debut on Raw, the countdown clock, when he confronted The Rock. They had that confrontation. I absolutely love Jericho's music. His first ever version of Break the Walls Down is my favorite version still of all time. And when I finally got my hands on that version, I think like after 15 years, I mean, it was, I felt like a little kid. I was like, oh, it's so cool. I almost blasted it in my Lincoln. Can you imagine me with like a 600-watt radio bass vibrating on women, in people's houses, and you hear his like first entrance theme from, 1999? But I think Judas, for that one moment, I think people would lose their shit. All right. I'm going to jet out of here. So, guys, gals, it's been fun. Great, as always. Thank you for some fun topics to discuss tonight. So, again, if you're around Monday night at 11.05 p.m. right after Raw, I will be up here doing a quick recap of Raw. We'll get into some news tidbits. I have a few. If you go check out the preview, you'll see a few things. Some great news about Barry Windham. Now, yesterday we already posted what Bray Wyatt had said, and I can tell you that his sister posted the news that he's out of ICU, something that has not been reported, that I will tell you now. I mean, I'm sure it's going to come out by tomorrow or Tuesday, but if everything works out well, Barry Windham might be home before next weekend. They might allow him to go home. Who I got that from, I don't want to say. I will tell you it's somebody that lives in Florida that is pretty close to the situation, but, you know, he's emailed a lot of people, DM'd, text message. You know, he has contacted a lot of people. And let's not make any mistake, though. He is far from out of the woods. You know, you don't just feel better, go home and eat better and, you know, try to exercise more. No, I mean, heart attacks, you could be in the greatest health condition, never smoke, don't have an ounce of fat and still grab a heart attack. This is very, very serious. The man was clinically dead for 10 plus minutes. That shit is serious shit. So, thank God that he is feeling better and he's got a long road to recovery. It hits home for me. I know it hits home for a lot of you out there as well. But, you know, really, really good to see that news. So, all right, everyone. Hope you have a great rest of your evening. On the way out, if you haven't done it already, get off your ass. Go grab that remote or your mouse. Hit that thumbs up. Thank you in advance of subscribing or being a channel member. If you want a little bit more still, Don Tony Patreon. It is patreon.com/DonTony. Every episode that we do, ad-free episodes are there. We do contests. Every Tuesday, I do an extra show. Kevin Castle does his show every Thursday as well. So there's, plus you got five and a half years of shows we've done there that have never aired publicly, ever. So you got probably like 1,000 shows there that nobody knows about. People have asked me to make them public. You know, I don't know. It's like Las Vegas. What happens there stays there. So I kind of like, you know, we give it to our elite channel members here, as a little extra. And I think that's fair. And I don't think we should expand that. So people have been asking me about putting older DTKC episodes online. If I do that in 2023, I will do it in spurts. I'm not going to just throw one episode at a time. I did that early this year, and it did not get anywhere near the response I thought it would. You know, looking back 15 years ago, what was wrestling like 15 years to the day, and I post the episode. Some people liked it, but the amount of work you put into it, it's not worth it. So either we upload like 6 months worth of shows, or we don't do it at all. So be well, everyone. Much love. See you Monday night. Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.